Tom Karkel with the AM 1400 WRJN News Center. AccuWeather forecast today, going to be plenty of sunshine. We'll have a high around 73. Right now it's 56 degrees in Kenosha, 50 in Burlington, Milwaukee 59, 57 in Racine. A 36-year-old man in Racine reportedly shot several times yesterday afternoon while he was in the 1600 block of Holmes Avenue. That victim taken to the All Saints Emergency Room, his condition at the time unknown. The initial reports indicated that a vehicle, possibly connected to the incident, fled the area. Police taped off Holmes Avenue between 16th and 17th Streets to conduct their investigation. Otherwise, they're not saying much of anything about this case. A Racine County judge's decision could come by the end of the month. Reference the mental state of Dover resident Ronald Kane. This in January of 2015, when he's accused of breaking into a home in his neighborhood and slitting the throat of a man, narrowly missing the victim's carotid artery. The 30-year-old Kane's attorney maintains that his client has a mental disease or defect and needs care from a state mental health care facility, not imprisonment for attempted homicide, armed burglary, and substantial battery. Judge Emily Miller presiding over the bench trial. Kane remains in the Racine County Jail. State Corrections Secretary John Lisher at the Isgrove office complex in Racine County, where he faced lots of questions and comments about the agency's operations. A 90-minute open house event, the room loaded with DOC employees. One woman suggested budget dollars be redirected from the sex offender registry, claims it doesn't keep anybody safe. Lisher indicated that will never happen because the public wants that information.
But evidence-based practices.
Yeah, I understand. We will.
Shows it doesn't keep anyone safe.
Evidence-based practices will say that we shouldn't be supervising anybody on probation. Low risk on probation. None. Because it's a detriment. Any supervision for low risk offenders on probation is a detriment to their well-being. Yet we are going to do that.
One vocal corrections officer complaining the DOC doesn't stick up for its employees in media reports, especially those that focus every year on overtime. And there was one point in the gathering the corrections employees took issue with a woman in the audience who had complained about inmate mistreatment, several telling her that they were offended by her comments and that she was wrong. Kenosha Police Department still investigating three bank robberies that occurred within 35 minutes of each other in different parts of the city, and they believe it's the same person in each instance. The Chase Bank at 29th Avenue and Washington Road, the first to be held up just before 2 p.m. Roughly 10 minutes later, the downtown Chase location at 55th Street and 6th Avenue. The third robbery at 2:30 p.m., the Johnson Bank at 39th Avenue and 60th Street. The suspect in each case threatening the use of a weapon, but nothing actually displayed and currency taken. Security video showing a male offender to be African American with blonde hair and a dark beard. Mount Pleasant police want to find a dark-colored car that struck a department transport van just before 10:30 last night, forcing the officer to jump inside to avoid injury and destroying the driver's side door. An assault report had put officers at that location. A news release says, while parked along the curb, the officer with the van noticed a vehicle rapidly approaching from the back, veering toward the driver's side of the paddy wagon. That officer grabbed the steering wheel, quickly jumped inside just moments before that other vehicle sideswiped the squad on the driver's door, then sped off. Anybody who has information has to contact Mount Pleasant Police or Crime Stoppers of Racine County. It's called an outstanding opportunity to increase public service and public safety in Kenosha. The fire department's command staff outlining proposed realignment of the fire stations and equipment, which includes constructing a new consolidated station at 52nd Street and 22nd Avenue and replacing two existing facilities. Public Works Committee hearing from Division Chief Jim Poltrock, who said the discussion began when Mayor John Antaramian directed the department to find a way to relocate and staff a rescue squad on the south side. It's an area with a high call volume, and it led to several recommendations, including the station realignment.
In this rearrangement of resources, this consolidation and realignment, there would be no loss of equipment, no loss of personnel. It's just realigning it in such a way where we put three med units in the area of the city where it's busiest, and a truck company and two engines as well. All the other resources stay the same, with the exception of Truck 4, which has been put into reserve status.
Alderman David Bogdala saying the changes are long overdue. Not discussed how much it's going to cost, the time frame, things like that, which will probably come up during budget deliberations. And it was more than 18 years ago that a 77-member Racine County contingent went on a week-long integrated emergency management training session presented by FEMA in Emmitsburg, Maryland. Next spring, one of the same participants from that group is planning to go back. On WRJN's Community Conversation, Burlington Mayor Jeannie Hefty noted the tornado scenario they trained for back in 1998. It resulted in her trying to effect some changes back home.
I went to anybody that wanted to listen to what I learned out there. I was pushing at that time the alert radios for tornado. So I carried it back to Burlington, and like I said, I spoke to a lot of groups and getting them on board for tornadoes. Now, this is going to be expanding even more as we're in another century.
Mayor Hefty adding that the biggest concern these days, the railroad accidents that could happen. And she's also pondering, they say, a second emergency operation site. The county's emergency management coordinator, David Mack, points out many of the participants from that training trip back in 98, they're no longer in their position, so it's a good time for a new group to go, the price tag to be covered mainly by FEMA. An amendment to the conditional use permit for the Indian Motorcycle business in downtown Racine to expand into now vacant space where the Park 6 building was raised in the 500 block of 6th Street includes more parking, a small electronic sign, and a restaurant in the main building, and it all gets support from the City Plan Commission. Former Alderman Greg Helding, now chair of the Redevelopment Authority, noted the so-called Vision Triangle with that corner sign placement that's involving just a one-way street.
I understand that we have certain rules or guidelines with regard to signs. I think that we can be reasonable about how we apply them without, as I said, risking the city turning into Times Square. It just seems to me to be a little bit narrow of a view to say that we can never have a sign.
Tony Picaro said the intent to make the business site a destination for motorcycle riders and to promote historic downtown Racine.
It's a nice message center that we're trying to get across, some specials. I have no issue with, I'm not looking for it to be scrolling. I can't stand it on the bottom of a TV screen where I don't watch what's on TV and I can't keep up with what's on the bottom of the screen. That's not what I'm looking for. I'm just looking to simply put up a message, change it from every 30 seconds.
Mayor Dickard, noting concern about setting a precedent, suggested maybe the size of the property in relation to an electronic sign could be the criteria. Plan Commission recommendation now goes to the council. Sheboygan City officials considering grant funding to help boost an effort to attract the Milwaukee Bucks D-League team, which, of course, Racine and Oshkosh are also seeking. The mayor there, Mike Vandersteen, says they want to show the Bucks there's lots of community support for this proposal with the investor group, which includes one-time player Joe Wolf.
We feel it's a real good payment to rehabilitate the armory, keep it for all the citizens that are really interested in historic preservation, and have the opportunity to bring in the Bucks D-League team, which would be a great attraction.
The city attorney in Sheboygan drafting a resolution on possible tax incremental financing for the council to consider next week. It's a new study out by United Way of Wisconsin, and it shows that despite the state's unemployment rate, people are struggling to pay their bills. That includes in Racine and Kenosha counties. Here's WRJN's Janet Hoff.
The report looked at the percentage of families who live below the federal poverty level, along with asset-limited, income-constrained employed, or ALICE, households. Those families that still do not earn enough to afford the five basic household necessities of housing, child care, food, transportation, and health care, leaving nothing for savings. The data shows 42% of households in the state fall into those two categories. In Racine County, the study found 14% of households were below the poverty level, while another 36% were in the ALICE category. In Kenosha County, 13% of families are living below the federal poverty level, while the incomes of 28% fall below the ALICE threshold. United Way of Wisconsin Executive Director Charlene Moulet calls the statewide results shocking, noting their 211 Helpline Center receives a lot of requests for simple food assistance. Janet Hoff, WRJN News.
WRJN newscasts are in podcast form. They're on our webpage whenever you want. Go to WRJN.com, look in the local news section. Also, at WRJN News is for our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Cargo, WRJN News.